Malka.
Also seen a photograph of an assault style.
Hi, Malka. He hasn't come on yet.
Hey.
Okay. Thank you.
I forgot to get your papers yesterday. He didn't
yes,
have
ma'am,
the lesson.
Okay.
He didn't have the lesson ready. But I can make you a copy. I don't think he has it on the website yet. And if he doesn't have it by, say, Wednesday, well, then I'll just go ahead and make you a copy for my set.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Just been busy every weekend.
I know, I know. I'm having to start
family.
A new notebook, so I made... I'm letting that notebook have chapters 1 to 10. And I'm starting a new notebook for 11. So just a while ago, I made all the covers, and I made one for you. So whenever you're ready, you can just put it in the new notebook.
Okay. Thank
while
you.
I'm making them, it's better that I make them all at one time than choppy, you know. So.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Hannah?
Yes.
What did we finish last time? Through section, chapter 11, section 4? Or
yes.
Did we go through 5?
That's what I have. December the 29th of 17th. And actually, you know, we even did it December 29th of 13. That was unusual to hit it on the same day. Just different
that
years.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can find the handout. I didn't set up a link for the direct handout, so... if you go to row 11 of the Revealed Wisdom Matrix on the second column from the left, it'll say Advanced Reincarnation Classes. When you click on that link, it opens up to a landing page. And if you scroll down to Class 13A, it's the closest you'll get, because that opens up to Chapter 11, Section 2. We've already covered that. And if you scroll down on that page, almost to the end, you'll get to Chapter 11, Section 5. That's where we're going to start. And then we will go back to the landing page for the Advanced Reincarnation Classes and go to Class 14. And that will be, we'll be starting a whole new page. That opens up to Chapter 11, Section 6. So the title of Section 5 is Specific and General Connections. And
I know.
Yes. Yes.
We would be starting on Chapter 11, Section 4.
Section 4?
Yes. Let me make sure. I had it. I guess because I had notes. But I had stopped here underneath. Total number of internal and external sparks. And so we would be starting 11, Section 4. Flesh, tender,
I agree.
Bones. Okay.
It's not a problem. So instead of scrolling down all the way to Section 5, we'll start on Section 4. And also, Class 14 will open up, assuming we have enough time. And since I depend on the opening from our morning class. The only thing I'm going to say here is the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kud shavarei chulishkin tei bit hilu urchimu. B'Shem Yud-Heh Bav-Heh B'Yichuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayihino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kananeh Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kananehu. Chapter 11, Section 4 is titled Flesh, Tendons, and Bones. The model described in the previous sections exists on three parallel levels at the same time: flesh, gedim, and bones. You should also know that every limb is composed of flesh, gedim, and bones. These gedim, and the translation here is tendons, but in other places it's translated as sinews. These gedim of the limbs are not the same as the 365 gedim called sinews that relate to the 365 negative mitzvot. So we're using the same word in Hebrew, but it has two different levels of consciousness. These gedim of the called tendons of the limbs are not the same as the sinews. Since I already read that, doesn't hurt. The Hebrew word gedim is normally translated as tendons or sinews. Elsewhere, we have always translated it as sinews. And that is probably the best translation for the intention of the Ari. However, here we have preferred to leave gedim without translation to emphasize the distinction between the two different concepts of gedim that will be explained now. First, there is the flesh. Above them are the gedim, and above them are the bones. My commentary: a better way to perceive the word above is to see first there is flesh, and the next internal aspect of the body is the gedim. And the most internal aspect of the body is the bones, or are the bones. In every partsuf, there are 248 limbs and 365 gedim, sinews. Sometimes we refer to them, in short, as 613 limbs. The gedim, or the tendons, under discussion here, however, refer to an intermediate level of the body structure, situated between the flesh, which is external to it, and the bones, or more specifically, the bone marrow, which is internal to it. Together, they comprise three separate, parallel, congruent, and equal partsufim. The only difference between them is that one is more internal and the other is more external. My commentary: the above paragraph is a good example of how the terms that are used in Kabbalah as the language of branches is not the same as the everyday meaning of these terms. Consequently, the 613 sparks, who are the students of wisdom of this heel, of the left leg, of the left shoulder, consists of three divisions. These are, as already mentioned, the flesh, the gedim, and the bones. It is the same for the other external sparks, who are the active people, as explained previously. They divide into the same three divisions. It is interesting to note the term the Ari uses here to excuse me, to describe the external sparks. They are the active people. Similarly, in the last section, he called them those that do mitzvot. These terms are in opposition to the students of the wise, the scholars and saints, who are seen as more sedentary and contemplative, whose accomplishments are in the realm of the mind more than of action and deeds. Nevertheless, it seems obvious that these terms are relative and not absolute. The Torah scholars certainly perform mitzvot and act in the world when they must, but the center of gravity for them is more in the mind than in action. Similarly, the householders, the merchants, the farmers, and all the other masses certainly have intellectual accomplishments. Furthermore, since the time of the Baal Shem Tov, and even before that, it is not uncommon for the Torah scholars and saints to be hidden among the common people. Their order is as follows. First, there is flesh. Above them are the gedim, and above them are the bones, because of the marrow that is within them, as opposed to the hard substance that comprises the bones themselves. The Ari always calls the marrow of the bones moach, or mochin. These are the brains, equivalent to the light, the internal and highest part of every partsu. The Sefer writes, see chapter 1 and appendix 42.1. And my commentary is this appendix is not available in English as of yet. Thus, the partsuf of Nukva of Asiyah has been explained. It was entirely included within Adam. You can infer from it all the other particulars, even as far as Arichan Pin of Atzilut. In the previous section, it was stated that Adam is the partsuf of the Nukva, or the of Asiyah. Here it is stated explicitly that the Nukva of Asiyah is one of the partsufim of Adam. It should be obvious to students by now that these are one and the same. Adam is a composite of the partsufim, and each partsuf is in the image of Adam. My commentary. Why is the outside of the bone not included in this discussion? What is it? Is it a klipa? It acts as a shell protecting the marrow. What does the marrow produce? It produces both the white and red cells. The white cells, according to the Kabbalists, is the location of the nefesh level of soul. The other part of the bones also provide the structure to support the body, to stand upright. I said the above paragraph so that you would consider alternatives to the words that you are reading. I want my students to think for themselves and not just accept what they read and become an effect of the authors. That's the end of the section. Are there questions? My unwritten commentary is that this section, for the first time, we're using terms that are different in the spiritual realm, and those terms really do not apply to the physical levels, at least as far as we know today. A part suf is a structure of 10 sephirot. So when we say that Adam is the part suf of Malchut, of Asiya, we are saying that Adam is a complete structure, as all human beings, and yet there are levels and hierarchy within the body of Adam, within the what we would refer to as the part suf of Adam. Section 5, specific and general connections. There are two types of interconnectedness between the souls that the Ari calls specific and general. First, he will explain specific interconnectedness, then the general. We will call them vertical and horizontal, respectively. Vertical means up and down. Horizontal, left to right. Now we will explain the connection of a person's soul in all the worlds. And this is according to what the sages said about the verse, "Where were you when I founded the earth?" This is a famous verse from Job. This verse was first expounded in chapter 3, section 2. Its relationship to the material that is being described here will be explained later on. Meanwhile, the Ari is continuing from where he left off in the last section. There is a soul that is a spark from one of the sparks of the left heel, which is one minor root of the 70 minor roots in the major root that is the left shoulder of the partsuf of Adam, Harishon, from the Nukva of Asiya. Now, is that description clear to anybody? I doubt it. But if you think it through, it will become somewhat clearer anyway. Details pinpointing a site somewhere in the supernal worlds of the ethereal realms are often called by modern Kabbalists addresses. To fully understand the following, one should understand the previous chapters. These long lists of details pinpointing a site somewhere in the supernal worlds of the ethereal realms are often called by modern Kabbalists addresses. The long addresses of pages or sites on the internet, which may be more familiar to the modern reader, may be compared to them. The person's soul that is from that place in Nukva of Asiya will also be connected to the same place in the partsuf of Zeran Pin of Asiya and in Ima of Asiya and Chachma of Asiya, and so on, until the highest height, which is the heel of the left leg, one of the minor roots of the 70 minor roots of the major root, that is the left shoulder of Arichantin of Asilut. The only difference between this address and the address first given above in the previous paragraph is as follows. The first address was a specific place, a spark of the left heel of the left shoulder in the Nukva of Asiya. in the highest height, the address is the same specific place. But in Arichantin of Atzilut, highest height is a term denoting the highest place beyond which we do not specify any more details. For example, in Kavanot, it usually refers to the highest place in Adam Kadmon. It's Av of Sag of Adam Kadmon. Here, however, it refers to Arichantin of Atzilut. It's important to remember, this is an unwritten commentary, it's important to remember that the vocabulary, the word that is used in Kabbalah, is very exact. And when it's the Kabbalists refer to a description as an address, this also is helpful in meditative travel. Which world are you going to can also be described in terms of the partsufim of the various worlds. Continuing to read. All these sections are called one soul. This specific aspect, the left heel of the left shoulder, in each partsuf, in each world, makes one soul. The specifics of the world of Atzilut, from bottom, top to bottom, are as follows. And you have this chart that if you take time to walk through it, you'll see how these terms relate to each other. A good example is the first one, the left heel of the left shoulder. Okay. Do you think that there is a human vision, a human body in your left shoulder? The answer is there is, but we don't see it that way. We see all the components. We don't structure it into something called a partsuf, something described as a human body. So when we see, and when we're looking at a human body within the left shoulder, well, which part of that human body are we talking about? There's 613 parts. So the left heel becomes a clear address. But we're talking about Avarichantin. But isn't Adam Kadmon Arichantin? And the answer is Keter is composed of three levels, as we learned in this class. Now, the general partsuf is Arichantin also, but is the specific and the general the same address? The answer is no. And the soul of the soul is Yechida of Yechida. Well, remember, there's a body and there's a soul. The partsuf is the body. The soul is the soul. So you see how the address can be very specific. Is the light that fulfills the body of a particular address. A particular address of the body. Now you have the light that fulfills that. In your meditations, are you traveling to the soul or are you traveling to the body? This is partially why this terminology is important. I'm going to drop through the chart and continue reading at the end of the chart. This is for the world of Atzilut. The chart above is only for the world of Atzilut. It is exactly the same for the levels of Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama from the lower three worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya. If one would extract, so to speak, all the specific aspects and put them together to form one soul, then they would constitute one Partsuf. The aspects from the world of Asiya would be the lowest part of the Partsuf. For example, the legs. The aspects of Yetzirah would constitute a higher place in the Partsuf. It would constitute something in the chest. The aspects of Yetzirah would constitute a higher place in the Partsuf, as I said, the chest. But now there would be the aspects of the world of Bria, and that would be in the mind, in the head, and then there would be aspects in the world of Atzilut, and in that level we would refer to it as a soul, the soul of the body. But again, these terms will not make sense if we're using them in the same way we use the word soul in our everyday conversations, or even in our conversations about souls in Kabbalah. It's a different, the same word, but it has different meanings, and it's important to understand this. Continuing to read. The aspects from the world of Asiya would be the lowest part of the Partsuf, for example, the legs. I've read this already. Until we reach the Yechida of Arikantin of Atzilut, which would be the top of the crown of the head. Altogether, they constitute one Partsuf and one soul. At the same time, each one is the left heel of the left shoulder of the specific Partsuf of Adam to which it connects or corresponds. A person ascends and takes his portion from all of them, from the end to the head. First he takes his portion, the heel, etc., of Nukva of Asiya, which is called the Nefesh of the Nefesh. Then he ascends and takes the next portion, until he takes his portion in Arikantin of Asiya, in its aspect of heel. Then all of the parts of his nefesh from the world of Asiya are complete. His portion, obviously, is always the heel of the left shoulder of the partsuf of each level in each world. It is the same with his ruach, which is from Yetzirah, and so on until he ascends to take his portion in the heel of Arikantin of Atzilut. Then his yeshida from the world of Atzilut is completed, and all the parts of his soul are finished. This is the minute detail concerning the connection of a person's soul. This is a specific interconnectedness. The entire partsuf of the left heel of the left shoulder consists of that specific place on each level of the vertical hierarchy from the bottom of Asiyah to the top of Atzilut. That is why we have called it vertical. The Ari has called it here minute detail. They are called one soul because they are close to each other. There are, by the way, three major schools of thought that emanate from the teachings of the Ari. They are the schools of the Baal Shem Tov, another school from the Vilna Gaon, and a third school from the Rashash, Rabbi Shalom Mizrahi. The latter founded the Sephardic school of meditative prayer called Kavanot. It is also called the system of Pertai Peratim. This Hebrew phrase used here that has been translated as minute detail. My commentary. I do not know why this information is included here. Also, I think it is not complete. There are actually four major schools, and the Rashash is a subset of the Chaim Luzzatto school, which is not included. This is only my opinion. However, there is another general aspect. The general aspect concerns the other soul sparks from the specific minor roots. In the case that the Ari has been discussing in this chapter, it is the left heel. All the sparks of the left heel that are situated nearby to each other in a cluster are one of the minor roots of the left shoulder. Thus, all the sparks of the left heel together form one partsu, or one soul, as the Ari will now explain. It has been explained that the soul of a person is only the specific detailed nefesh. It is not the intention of the Ari here to exclude ruach and neshama. Rather, he wants to say that one soul consists of exactly the same specific detailed place in all the worlds, as has been explained beforehand. Nevertheless, in general, all the soul sparks constituting the heel of the partsuf of the major root called Cain, which is the left shoulder of Adam, all together are called one, into one entire major soul, as mentioned previously. There are 613 major souls in each of the major roots, and this entire heel is one of the 613 major souls in the root of the left shoulder, that is one major root. In other words, all the sparks in the left heel of the left shoulder are also called one soul. This is in general. They are called one soul because they are close to each other, and together they constitute one partsuf. In the case of minute detail that was disclosed previously, one soul or partsuf was formed because the specifics occupied the exact same position in each of the hierarchical vertical levels of soul. The relationship here, on the other hand, may be called horizontal. It is based on proximity and position within the same part suit. The advantage of specifying this will be explained later on. That's the end of the section. Does anyone have any questions? feel overloaded by this information, so that we should take a week and consider it, or do you want to go on to the next section, which would be section 6? And I'll wait for somebody to unmute to give me some input. It's about 20 minutes.
To me, it was kind of difficult. I wouldn't mind pondering it some more.
Yeah, that's my feeling as well. Malka, did you want to say something?
I agree with Hannah. If we can continue on this pursuit, this would be great, because I think we need a little bit more in-depth study.
Okay. So let's call the class at this point, and we'll pick up next week where it's the section 6, which is titled Teamwork.
Okay.
But feel free to ask any questions on Wednesday's class, so perhaps we can get a head start, or at least have some discussion that way.
Okay.
But what I'm visualizing is like the tree of life, like a tree. I'm just taking it as a visual tree, and the root would be in the heel, because that would be the root of the tree for me, visualizing. And then vertical, of course, you go vertical from that point up to the top of the shoulder, and the head that is above the shoulders is the supreme elevation. I mean, because it's Keter, Hokma, and Bima. That's kind of what right now is what I'm visualizing. Don't know if that's correct or not, but that's how I. Having to try to understand the study is.
It's good that you asked this or questioned it, because it is a valid approach to what we read. What is missing in your image is that this physical world is an upside down world. So in our world, the roots are in the ground. The trunk of a tree rises from the roots above the ground. And then the roots, the trunk will branch out into various tree limbs or branches depending on their thickness. And then they branch even further out into less thick branches, so that maybe the branches at the close to the trunk will support the weight of someone, but the branches at the outside of the leaf, outside of the image of the tree, those branches or twigs would not support the weight of a person. And then each twig or each branch breaks out into leaves, but also it breaks out into fruits. And then you have the blossoming, which creates the fruit. But the blossoms disappear as the fruit grows. So it becomes a little more complex. And now I'm really going to confuse you back, because the first statement I made is, this is an upside down world. So in the spiritual world, the Keter or the Chachma, because the Keter is so high we don't always use it, Chachma is considered the seed. But let's make it simple and say Keter is the seed. And the seed disappears and becomes the root. But now it's not that we're growing up, we're growing down. The root, which is in Chachma, creates a trunk. but Bina is always connected to Chachma. So there's a, within this, the trunk, excuse me, the root, there is both the male and female. But now out of the root comes the trunk. But while the trunk is processing and growing into the six sephirot of Zeranpin, it's really coming down to the physical world. So in that image of the correct tree of life, where would you put Yesod? You would put it at the bottom. Whereas you put Chesed at the top. You put Givurah at the top of the left column. But Chesed and Givurah are branches. But as they come down through Netzach and Hod, obviously Tiferet as well, and then into Yesod, you have this idea of the branches becoming twigs. And this is the idea. The twigs in a physical tree do not support another human. But the twigs in the spiritual level of Netzach Hod Yesod, they're not supporting, but they're less than in power capacity. So when you talked in terms of the tree starting at the roots and growing up, it's an image problem that will confuse you ultimately. It's always good to remember that as soon as we get to the idea of something spiritual, we have to reverse that image. We're not growing up, we're coming down.
So basically, the whole tree of life in the spiritual world, we're coming down from the roots of that spiritual tree. The tree,
correct,
the actual tree, is up in the, just like Adam, they were up in Malkut of the spiritual world. So we are branching or rooting out of the top of the bottom of the tree that is in the spiritual, the higher level in the spiritual world. We're actually receiving light and energy from that tree.
Is another way to say it that we're bringing Olam Haba down to Olam Hazeh. Kind of one of the messages of Raquel Imanu earlier in the week.
Yes. Let me try and incorporate the whole thing because it's more complicated than what Malka was saying. Because you brought in the image of Adam. But are you talking about the human Adam? Or are you talking about the spiritual Adam, which is we call the world of Adam Kadmon, which we translate as the primordial man?
Right, the spiritual.
So the spiritual Adam is a world. It's not a partsuf. It's not a structure of 10 sephirot. I mean, it is a structure of 10 sephirot, but Adam Kadmon is like a seed. If you were to take a seed of a corn plant or a wheat seed and cut it open side, you know, cut it along its axis, so you now have two halves of that same seed. So you can see inside the seed, you should be able to see the four components of the plant, of the corn stalk. What are those four components? There is the root, there is the trunk or the stem of a corn plant, there are the leaves or the branches, and then there's ultimately the fruit. All four of those are in the seed. And that is the world of Adam Kadmon. In the world of Adam Kadmon, you and I and Hannah and everybody else has a soul at that level. We can't really perceive where we are in the seed because everything in the seed is unified. There's no separation between you and I. Because at the level of the seed, we would say human rather than Malka. And human includes all of us. The language becomes important as we try and describe that. Now, once we come down from Adam Kadmon to the world of Atzilut, it's a little easier. But where are we talking about in the world of Atzilut? We have an image of Adam Kadmon. We have an image of a partsuf which looks like a human body. But we also have the image of the ten sephirot. Are they the same thing? The answer is yes and no. The ten sephirot by themselves, each sephirot is not a partsuf. But only when it is in a structure of the completion of the ten is it a partsuf. So the world of Atzilut has many partsufim, many partsufs. It has a partsuf for the soul level of nefesh, another one for Ruach, another one for Neshama, another one for Chaya and Yeshida. All of those different soul components also can be partsus. And you can see how the language kind of doesn't break down because once you define where you're describing, then you go to shortcut language. Well, I'm talking about Tiferet. Well, which Tiferet? I'm talking about Tiferet of the Nefesh of Hanoch ben Yaakov in the world of Atzilut. I hope this has been helpful.
I guess we don't think about ourselves being at that level. That's, you know, me. As she spoke.
You were breaking up, Fana. So say it again.
Well, I said, I don't think we think of ourselves as coming from that high status, I guess you'd say.
No, we probably don't think of ourselves that way, and you're right. But how do you start at the level that you think of yourself? Because right now, let's put ourselves in the world of Asiyah, the world of action. Well, we have a human body. Now, let's climb up to one world and go to the world of Yetzirah. There's still a human body there, correct?
Mm-hmm.
but it's upside down. It's hanging from its feet.
That's right.
So by the time we get to absolute, we're definitely so, and that so is the breath of Hashem. No body. Without a body. I don't know. That's the picture that came in my head.
It has the body. Think of the body in the world of absolute as potential.
Okay.
Because it couldn't be in the physical world with a body unless it was there in the world of Atzilut. Everything in our physical world is a branch of the seed in the world of Atzilut, or better language would be it's a branch of the root, or it's a branch of the trunk of the root that's in the world of Atzilut. And that's really the gist of these sections that we read today, mm-hmm. is that there's something of each one of us in those, each as we go up the world, as we climb the tree from the fruit to the leaves, to the branches, to the trunk, to the root, as we climb the tree in that way, in the upside down way, we combine, we compress. I'm not Hanoch in the world of Yetzirah. Why not? What is my name in the world of Yetzirah? Well, that's the question that you need to discover as you study Kabbalah. That's the name, that's the question that you're going to be asked, God forbid, in the grave. What is your name? Not what your name is in this world, but what is your name of your soul in that world? In this world, your soul took on attributes that help you achieve your tikkun. But that's not who your soul is in the world of Yetzirah. More so, it's not your soul in the world of Bria. And as when I say we became compressed, that's my image of it. It's the idea that we go from a human being to a member of a family, and then from a member of a family we go to a member of a nation, and from a member of a nation we go to a human species, one of the three, and then from the higher level all three are coming from one called the human species.
So we were talking about, you know, my name would be potential if I'm an Asya. If I'm in the upper world on the seed level, which would be, I would be potential.
Yes.
Come down.
Yes, Malka, so, there would be a soul in the seed level in the world of Atzilut that potentially will be named Malka when that soul filters down through the tree and manifests in this world as happened when you were born and you were given the name Malka. And that name that you were given is connecting, or is a mirror image, a metaphor image of the personality and character traits that Malka needs to produce her tikkun, to achieve her tikkun.
Okay, I gave her that name. What does that signify?
What does that signify?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if signify is the right word, but, you know.
Why is that important? The question is, why is it important? Why do I have to know this? And the answer is, you don't have to know it, but it's helpful to know it.
So the thing is,
why is it helpful to know it? Because when we say the soul of Malta, as an example, which level of soul is being described? And if
well,
we say the soul of Malta, are we talking about a part suf of the 613 components? And one of those components, today she did an action and that component became, the tikkun was achieved for that component. So tomorrow, when Malka comes back down and goes back into the body, it's not the exact same 613 components. Then one component still comes back down, but it's a different component from yesterday. And when enough of those components change, the name no longer is a metaphor for the soul, so the person changes, feels wrong and changes the name. And knowing that is helpful in knowing and understanding cause and effect in your life.
And I felt like I felt obedient, so, you know, I felt like
yes.
At that time I saw the beauty of her soul as a queen. Yeah.
Correct.
And of course, you know, we did research into their given names by their parents, which
right.
led to several suggestions, and then. And she liked it, you know. And a lot of times I see people and it's like, I know what your name should be in Hebrew. They may not necessarily be Jewish, and I don't say anything to them. But that happens a lot. It's like I know the name that they're supposed to get. There's one lady that comes in and that I see from time to time, and during the week a name came. But I'm not going to tell her when, if she ever asks, or, you know, well, then I'll say something. But until then, I won't. But anyway, I don't know if that's relevant to our conversation. But
well, it's always relevant to, you know, there's no reason that we can't go out and widespread. The important point of these sections is to realize how complex the aspects of reincarnation and the aspects of soul construction is. Because we use a simple, we call somebody Hanoch. But Hanoch is a complex structure of 10 Sephirot, within 10 Sephirot, within 10 Sephirot, almost to infinity. And what are we really specifically talking about? And this is the language of the Kabbalists. Because when they speak, they're very exact. They've defined all of the different levels. And they're discussing something in one world or in another world, in Yetzirah or in Bria or in Atzilut, about not just the person, but the component of the person. Are they talking about the left arm, the left shoulder, the heel, and so forth? Do you have to know this? No. But you have to let it cognate in your brain so that it becomes useful to you when you need it. When do you need it? When you're asked your name in the grave, you're going to be asked your name, and they expect you to give them a basic name and then the components that are still working.
Well, for some reason, I thought the first letter and last letter of our Hebrew name matched with Scripture. I know for Hannah, it came up
to
be
Havdalah,
the description, Hinael, Yeshua, T. I mean, I know that Scripture by heart, and I always felt like that's the answer that I plan to give the angel.
Okay.
But at the same time, when I was seeking, because when we did this lesson before, I had written a note that, or maybe you read it as well, that we needed to know which part we belong to of Adam. And at that time, I don't remember the details, but I do remember that I came out to be the stomach.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how that relates to this, but right at first it kind of threw me because everything was the left heel of the left shoulder. You know, it didn't go into any of the body parts, and that was, the main reason I said I'd like to think it over before going on to another chapter. But Malka's question about the tree and you coming back with it being an upside down tree, which we knew, but we keep constantly need to be reminded about it and the detail that you went into helped, but it was like just barely scratching the surface for me. But I have to read things several times and then I have to ponder it maybe for a week or more, and then by that time we're on another subject or another class, and so it kind of gets lost in between until it rises again, till we get at it again.
It surfaces again a year from now, 5 years from now, it surfaces again, and your brain has been cognating for a while, and something will happen and it'll fall into place.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking at the chart that was there, and I noticed that they printed in blue and were underlined. So does that mean I didn't actually go to it online because I had it printed, but can we open those links of the chart? I mean, I can find a handout. I mean, on the commentary. And check it myself.
You can find if you go onto onto the internet. You go onto the chart online.
Yeah,
there are links that you can go deeper and drill down on.
Okay.
But in what I did, no, I haven't. That would take me hours to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, then that's probably where I got it because it's printed in blue and they're underlined, like links are.
Right.
So. Okay.
Yeah, so that's probably, that chart does have that. That's correct. All
right. I can put the right words to this. Because the name Hannah is also, a biblical character of high nature and where I see she's placed at Bina, and with the gematria of 63 and everything, it made me wonder if, or my question would be, does, with having that name, I don't know how to put it. is there a link between me and that hierarchy?
Yes.
Or is that the seed or the potential?
No. Are there many women named Chama? Of course.
Mm-hmm.
So as you go up the upside down tree, although it's the right side up tree, we're upside down, but don't be confused by that. As you go up the tree, there'll be a place where all of the Chamas are together. They use the word address at that point. There'll be an address where all of the Chamas are together, unified. So potentially, you are within that group of Chamas. And they all have the same character traits. Somewhat modified, some have achieved it, but once the tikkuns are achieved, those Chamas all have the same character traits. That's why I described it as being compressed.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting, very awesome.
Yes, it is. You both are, if there's more that I'm not sure is on the line, you all have a good week.
Okay, thank you for this today.
Thank you.
Bye, Martha.
Bye, good night.
Good night.